There it goes.
Live from the Maison des Reptiles in Paris, France, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. Featuring your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned herpetologist, fourth-degree member of the Royal Order of Insurance Agents, and retired professional reptile rodeo clown, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring twice-decorated attorney, legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, rhythm guitarist for one of America's foremost rock bands, and also the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And last, and least, and lost, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, the winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and a man who can sneeze with his eyes open, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Episode 7.
What is episode 7?
The chin lock.
Chin lock?
That just sounds bad. What is a chin lock?
That's where you get behind the guy and you kind of, it's like getting him in a headlock, but with his chin.
Just go push the button head back, huh? Yeah, it's not bad.
Shouldn't you be able to get out of that real easy?
Well, it takes you by surprise. Your first thing you know, this guy's got you by the chin. You're like, and you go thorn.
Oh, like a rabbit.
But this is, you know, for the
Did you
alligator.
Know that that term, thorn, actually originated from that book?
No.
Yeah, it became a part of the lexicon of American language.
Watership Down.
Yeah. Greg?
No, nothing.
Never read it?
No.
To go thorn?
I recommend it.
I will.
It's a great little book.
You guys got a pretty good list of books I want to read, so I got
to
get at it.
Well, okay, if you could recommend three books for Greg to read, what would they be?
The Bible.
I've done that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're Catholic. I know better.
No, I read the passages.
Hold on.
I don't get into
Catch
the Old
22.
Testament. Catch 22?
Yeah. Innocence Abroad. There's three books for you. What three books would you recommend I read?
I would recommend The Mutiny on the Bounty story.
Oh, the trilogy?
Yeah. That's wonderful, and they're true.
They're written for children.
Whatever.
About my level.
Greg, read them. Yeah.
I am Sam. Sam, I am. That's Sam, I am. That's Sam, I am. I do not like that Sam, I am.
I like Dr. Seuss's books when I was growing up.
Those Dr. Seuss books.
I love them now.
Yeah, you know, they're good.
As an adult, if you're just loafing around, let's say you stop and visit someone's house, and they've gone in the other room to, like, fix some canops or something.
And green eggs and ham is laying on the table.
And you see, like, a stack of kids' Dr. Seuss books.
I'd be going through them in no time.
You'd pick one out and go
through. I love them.
Go Dogs Go.
Go Dog Go is a great one.
Oh, it's awesome.
Do you like my hat?
I do not like your hat. What a hat. That's a great party hat.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Enough they go. I love the cars they were driving. Those cool little race cars.
Go Dogs Go.
Yeah, they look like little loaves of bread with wheels.
Had their little scarves and hats on, man. It was good.
And they go to the big tree party?
Yeah.
Yep. I forgot about the tree party.
Like, where else would a dog have a party?
You bet.
Okay. So, you were going to talk about Vanna White.
Yeah.
The letter turner on
it's a toucher.
Jeopardy, right?
Tube toucher. Computer toucher.
Wheel of Fortune.
She's a professional toucher.
That's what.
Get you in trouble in some countries.
It could. C'est la vie.
Okay. So she's been doing this for 30 something years?
Yeah.
Is that right? 33 years, something like that? Okay. But.
Has Vanna had any work done?
You know, she probably did, but whoever
definitely
did good.
Not. I think she's wearing a lot of makeup, but yeah. I don't think she's, you know, puffed up her
face.
She's just
let herself age naturally.
I think so.
And just surrender to gravity.
I think so.
All right, go ahead.
But anyway, Pat Sajak, who's been there equally as long as her. Wait, was she there during the days of the other guy?
The one who killed himself?
No, not that. That was from Family Feud. No, Chuck Woolery was the original host of
Wheel of Fortune. Did he lose out on the gig?
Vanna's been there ever since they were selling spotted Dalmatians and junk.
Right, but my question is, was she there when Chuck Woolery was there?
I don't know.
Greg, look it up. But now, Pat Sajak is leaving, and she wanted his job originally, along with other people like Whoopi Goldberg. Anyway.
Whoopi Goldberg wants to spin the wheel?
She wanted to be Pat Sajak.
She's not.
No. But anyway, they got Ryan Seacrest to step in and do it, and he's fine.
They pretty much require that you have eyebrows to do it.
What? 1982 is when she started.
That still tells me nothing.
That's 41 years ago.
What do you want to know?
I want to know if she was there when Chuck Woolery was there.
What you need to do is look up, when did Pat Sajak?
Yeah, I know.
You idiot.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Working with these two guys has just been...
So...
You got a microphone, Greg Hughes.
She now wants to take over... until they announce that, you know, Ryan Seacrest is getting the job. So now... She's negotiating
with
the...
So now she's having a hissy fit.
Yes, and she's negotiating with the network to increase her salary. Right now, she's making $3 million a year to turn letters. I mean, granted, they probably make 200 episodes a year or whatever.
There's probably a guy getting paid just about that much to coach the Cardinals.
Yeah. but now she wants $7 million a year to be the letter turner. And what I was saying... was here she's all angry at them, so she comes to the negotiating table with her attorney or agent or whatever she has.
Both.
And she's just sitting there with her arms crossed, looking angry through her untouched face, and the attorneys are making the deals, and they're at the table. Well, who else can you find to turn these letters for as little as $3 million?
You know, and what I'm thinking is, you know, the touchscreen thing, right?
Why is she even there?
Don't you assume that there's someone who's sitting off camera watching that with the switches that's actually turning the lights on?
Absolutely. Her touching them has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that someone else is doing that.
Yeah. Why couldn't they just, you know, at the beginning of each show, select a person from the audience, you're tonight's letter turner?
You know what they should get is a chimp.
Oh, that'd be funny. Put a blonde wig on it.
I don't know about that. I mean, that's the sort of thing that might cause trouble. Yeah. I said, if they had a chimp that would run up and touch the letters like he was supposed to.
Which they could do real easy.
Oh, yeah.
Could we at least put lipstick on the chimp? Well,
it's a man's man.
Is that
chimp.
Like a dream of yours that you've sat around going, you know what I'd really like? Is if I had a chimp, I'd put lipstick and a dress and a blonde wig on it? You know, this is saying a lot about you. That I didn't know.
No, I'm just saying it would have been funny.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
And you're thinking romantic. You're sick. There you go again.
Oh, man. Okay, so.
Greg's leaving.
Starting, yeah. After that, I'm moving over on the couch a little bit here. Chuck Woolery started it in 1975 when it premiered. And he hosted up to August of 1980, except one week at Alex Trebek hosted it in his place.
So he was on there for 5 years?
Yeah.
So
then Susan Stafford was the letter turner.
Oh, he had his own letter turner.
Yeah.
And she went with him?
She went with him.
Big mistake. Yeah, she could have been making $3 million a year now.
Exactly.
Instead of making Chuck Woolery's coffee.
So that's the story.
For about $30,000.
Maybe she's making his bed.
No, don't say that. That's not... You have nothing to justify that.
I'm just saying maybe she's his maid.
Oh, I see.
God, Rick. There you go again.
You know, viewership-wise, how many people tune in to watch Wheel of Fortune because of Vanna White? What percentage?
I think it's more back in the 80s than it is now, maybe, but...
Nowadays, Wheel of Fortune comes on. You're going to watch Wheel of Fortune.
You're there to just solve the puzzle.
Stop talking, honey. Vanna's coming on.
So give me your best guess. What percentage tune in to watch Wheel of Fortune because of Vanna White?
two?
Yeah, I don't think it's that many.
If that.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that if you had a train...
There's a lot of sick people out there, okay?
Yeah.
If you had a trained chimp that would run up and touch the letters and light them up, you would increase viewership.
Hey, honey, come on. The chimp's coming out. And look, they put a wig on it.
Got a little lipstick, too.
Well, that would bring Alan out. Woo.
Wow. Okay, so... we've been pretty rough on Vanna. I hope she's not listening.
Well, she could be. You never know.
Yeah,
I know.
Now that's going to be true.
Her lawyer will be.
Well, we've got our own lawyer, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. What was your big lawyer significance in the intro again there? Twice decorated.
Twice decorated lawyer.
As what?
What does that mean?
Well, I decorated twice.
The bathroom?
The Christmas lights.
No, he was...
I was decorated.
He was decorated. With a medal?
As far as you know.
Okay. With a wig?
And lipstick?
Okay, stop that.
Any game show would be enhanced.
We're not going to say anything remotely like that for the rest of the show.
You know, don't you think that any game show would be enhanced with an attractive letter turner?
Any game show would be what?
Enhanced with an attractive Vanna White character in it.
Okay, but the thing
like
is...
Jeopardy. You know, you have Alex Trebek. Okay, and these five lakes in North New York State.
Finger Lakes.
Okay, what was the name of the woman on Monty Hall's Let's Make a Deal?
Carol Merrill.
Okay. You remembered her, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
She was good.
I was saying Jeopardy would be better if every time they lit them up, some attractive young woman went over and tapped the screen.
Right. On The Price is Right, what were the women known as collectively?
Oh, Barker's Beauties.
There you go. See?
Yeah, he got sued over that, didn't he?
Just for sleeping with them, didn't he?
I don't know.
Did he do that? I thought
perk.
No, I think he openly admitted to that.
Wow.
Or maybe he just told us secretly and we weren't supposed to tell anybody. Oh,
here comes the lawyers.
Wow. You know, he's still alive.
Yes, he
is. Bob Barker?
Yeah.
Yes. Same, why did I ever give this gig up? I could be doing better than that.
He writes letters to the network about Drew Carey. He's not calling the names right when the people come down.
Easy, it's just a game show.
Yes, it is.
And the other thing is Bob can't talk that loud anymore.
No, he dribbles a lot.
Bob Barker's, the high spot of his entertainment career was when he duked it out with Happy Gilmore.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who actually, that was pretty funny that he did that cameo in that movie.
100%
agree. Actually, it's beyond a cameo. It was he had talking parts and everything.
Yes, he did.
Recently, somebody was on the Wheel of... Not the Wheel of Fortune. The Price is Right. And when they spun the big wheel, they kind of lost their balance and lunged forward and got hit in the head by the giant wheel.
That's what happened to me this week.
Lawsuit.
Did it punch a hole through their bottom lip?
I think it may have knocked them out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And they had to, retape the segment later.
You see, and that's wrong. You should not make everyone have to go on the internet and hunt that clip up. You should just run it.
It's on YouTube.
What do you mean?
They should just have it as part of the show. Go ahead and show what happened.
Oh, well, I...
Don't cut it out. Because everyone's going to see it sooner or later anyway.
Yeah, because there's nothing is hidden in this day and age.
No, there's nothing you get away with anymore. Absolutely not.
No, I agree.
Which is kind of cool.
It is. Big Brother's watching you, man. I'm telling you.
Wow. All right, Greg. What, you say you're taking a boat through the Panama Canal?
Yeah.
Big boat? Your rowboat?
You're steering it?
I got a 25 horse Evinrude and a 15 foot John boat, and just going to go down through the Panama.
How many locks are there in the?
Yeah, like Jonah White. Jonah White's supposed to be sailing from Itasca to the Gulf of Mexico in like a rafty build.
Okay, so people who don't know who Jonah White is, you might want to explain that here nationally. They may be aware of his products, but don't know who
he is. He's like the inventor of Billy Bob Teeth.
And I can't believe.
Or purveyor of that.
He can't. I can't believe he got Joan Rivers to come to Michael, Illinois. People look that up on the map. Very hard. Population 25.
Joan Rivers.
Yeah, she came to his house.
And she hasn't had face work done either.
That's been about, what, how long has she been passed away? But no, she came, she did a TV show on him.
I was going to say, is she coming there in a jar?
No, this has been 10, 15 years ago.
Okay. That was her makeup.
Okay, so getting back, what is Billy Bob doing?
He's sailing a raft from like Itasca, Minnesota, all the way to length of Mississippi River.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people have done
it. I know. Yeah. Well, that's what Greg's about to do.
It's like a bucket list.
Greg's going to paddle a canoe with him and Lisa all the way through the Panama Canal and up to Florida.
So here's the deal, Greg. You don't know how many locks are in the Panama Canal. You don't know how long it takes. You're just going to experience it.
Exactly.
You're just going to absorb it in the moment.
As it comes.
You don't want somebody standing next to you spouting all this. Okay, there are a total of 27 locks.
Man,
and it takes 14 days.
Let me tell you something. That's just the way marriage is.
Man overboard.
What do you mean?
You don't want someone telling you about it beforehand. As you go along, you just experience it.
When you say somebody else telling you about it, okay, you know, I was married to your wife before you were.
here's what's going to happen. Yeah.
You want me to tell you what's going to happen with yours tonight?
Okay.
She's going to wait at the door when you open it, throw a bucket.
Where were you?
Boiling water in your face.
Alibi? What alibi? I didn't see him.
All right, so
you're not drinking. I'm just sitting here talking, man.
So you're in a cruise ship going through the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it fits? You're not worried about that?
Well, it's been there through there before many times.
But
so
you tell Rick, it was like 2 weeks ago, Greg mentioned that he was going on this trip. Tell him what the text was that I sent you, like, within an hour.
I can't remember. I have to
look. It was a headline from Wall Street Journal. Came out same day.
Yeah.
Cruise ship industry going bankrupt.
No.
Worst stomach virus in the history of cruise industry.
I've experienced that.
Yes, that's what there's the line I was really wanting to say. I thought the last time I heard Greg Ringhausen talk about cruise ships, it was to say, I will never go on another cruise ship in my life.
That's been 15 years ago, so
he doesn't remember. He forgot.
I've kind of forgot the pain.
Come on, tell him.
No, I just, you know.
Nah, tell your cruise ship story.
Well, going on a cruise.
Not me and you.
Well, no. Thank goodness. That would have been an experience.
You and Lisa.
But I'm a man's man, so that would have been worked. Anyway, Lisa and my wife, Lisa and I, went on this cruise.
You're bon vivant.
And we were waiting. They got us to the staging area to board, and they said, our ships had some disease on it. We had some influenza on it. And we had to wipe the ship down, clean it all up.
You had to wipe what down?
The ship.
You were told this before you got on it.
Yes. Huh. So there's a Walgreens across the street, and there's 3,000 people in this holding area. And everybody's going over there getting, just about like during the pandemic, Clorox wipes, sanitizers, everything. And so we thought we were well prepared, and we watched what we did, and you wiped your hands. We cleaned the room when we got there, but it took about 8 hours longer to get to our room, our cabin, than what was supposed to have been, and we should have been leaving a lot sooner.
And 8 hours and 10 minutes longer than it took to get to the bar.
No, I got to the bar right when I got on. That's all right. But anyway, so about 24 hours later, I was sicker than a dog, and I was going, anything I could get out of me was coming out of me.
They have a dog treat for that.
They do. And actually anything. But anyway, I got quarantined in the room for
Were you one of the first ones?
No, there was people throwing up in the lobby. There was people
in the hallways.
It was a nasty thing.
The buffet. And
so anyway, I was without a fever.
Just like normal.
I was out without a fever for 24 hours. So
no, that's the bar, Rick.
Yeah. So anyway, They let me out of the room, and they came in all with these white suits and hooded and gloved down, and took our beds and all our linens and all the towels, and they wiped everything down, and they threw everything out in the hallway and brought in some new stuff. Well, that's probably where it went. So, yeah, that was my So the next day, everybody's getting sick on the trip, so they just said, we're canceling the trip. We're turning back and going back to dock in Florida. So
you've decided you're just going to experience this. You don't want anyone telling you.
So I had 24 hours to finally get out and get on the deck and get to the swimming pool, swim, get a few libations. And I was getting the deck chair, and I was leaning over, and I pulled it up, and I went down like a sack of flour. My back hurt so bad I couldn't move. And these people were over there. Is he dying? Is he dying? He got a heart attack?
Don't
What's
touch
the
him!
Greg's
he's sick. He's been quarantined.
His back killed him, and someone's on top giving him heart compressions.
So
stop!
No, that was a man's man.
Yep.
So I got down to sick bay, which is on the lowest floor on the ship. And fantastic place.
Some give drugs. You some happy medicine there,
oh,
Greg?
It was an English pharmacy. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what was in that pharmacy.
English pharmacy with Mexican drugs.
Yeah, it could have been. But whatever they gave me, it was just amazing. It was a good
So then the trip came.
It was really, really
hey!
Good. So, yeah.
I thought it reached the point where they locked everybody down.
No, I couldn't tell you because I was sneaking up to what they give you is a card. And you have to pass the card when you get a meal or a drink or anything. So they can't cancel that card, so you can't get into the meal line or anything. So I was sneaking cookies out of the line, just acting like I was, coming back for seconds or something. Just, hey, excuse me. I took a bag of cookies down to the room because I was getting tired of the poached salmon and
every
boiled potatoes.
Day.
It was that. Yeah, that's what they gave you.
Okay. I had a friend that actually worked for Cruise Line. And was out at sea during one of these COVID outbreaks where they had COVID on the ship. Whoa. And no port would let them come in.
Dock, yeah.
And they were out on the ship, he said, for like 38 days. And,
Well, food.
He said they were running out of food, yeah.
Yeah.
He said.
Fresh water.
Nobody on that ship was happy.
So what did your wife do when you were like just locked in your room for 3 days?
She was out partying.
You mean it didn't affect her?
She didn't get it. No, not at all. She was.
She made a lot of new friends, Rick.
She did. Happy days.
She's a man.
Are you married? Well, kind of.
No, but I'm a man's man.
That's mean.
It is mean.
Okay, so.
So where's the boat go to finally?
It ends up in Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
So do you have to drive back down and get your car then?
Yeah.
Do they? No. He goes. You fly out of St. Louis and go to the west side of the Panama Canal,
correct?
Right? Mm-hmm. And then you take the boat to Florida and fly home from there.
Is that right. About an 8-hour flight?
So his car is in St. Louis. If you're wanting to go steal that,
that can't
Rick.
Possibly be 18 hours.
We got our itinerary today.
It's not like the other side of the globe.
Yeah, I know, but they sent us from St. Louis to Phoenix. Back to Miami to Panama. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
18 hours.
18 hours to get to Panama. Hmm.
Okay, but when you get in the Panama Canal and you go into these locks, they don't actually motor their way through. They hook these little trains to it on each side and drag it forward and drag you
in and out. Yeah.
Kind of like the Erie Canal principle.
Yeah, except there's no mules doing it.
No mules anymore. You ever see the Erie Canal?
Yeah.
It's tiny.
I was shocked how small the Erie Canal is.
No, it's not big at all.
I can't believe they wrote a song about it.
Yeah, and then it like changed the whole scope of America.
Yeah. Man, they weren't expecting much back in those days. Apparently. Now, I mean, you look at the Suez Canal, and it's huge. And they built that before there were, combustion engines.
Yeah, but they didn't have to put locks in the Suez Canal.
Well, whatever, but they built the damn thing without heavy machinery.
Oh, that's true, too. I'm guessing that the Erie Canal is built without heavy machinery, too.
Yeah, but it's not much of a canal.
It's got a song.
Yeah, true. Now,
name a Suez Canal song. I don't know.
Okay, now I'm getting to the lock system. Like, at Alton, Illinois...
Yes.
It's one of a series of locks and dams up and down the Mississippi River, right? Yeah, but if
like
you go to it...
28 of them.
If you go to it, you can see barges lock their way through.
Which is
make passage through.
And it's the most boring thing in the world to watch.
Oh, God. But they radio to the lock master. And, he says, come on in. And then they lower the water and it goes on downstream. But if you're like... in a ski boat, let's say, you know, and you're going on down. Let's say you're Jonah White and you're on your raft.
You're going to have to get through all those locks.
And you have to go through, and you know, you don't portage a raft that size, because I'm assuming he's got it pretty big.
That's a good word.
You're not going to portage it. You're going to go through the lock. Do you know how you do that?
Pony up a check, I think.
I think you just go down there, and they have a big lock and a small lock, but the small lock's still huge. They have a button you press down along the wall of the dam.
Oh!
You press this button, and I think that they try to do is get multiple boats to go through at the same time.
Right.
But if nothing else is coming, they'll, you know, lock through just
a small boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if it was a, like, say, a husband and wife in a kayak, they probably are going to make you drag that out and carry it around.
Portage it.
Yeah.
Portage de Sioux.
There is a place called Portage de Sioux on the river. Do you know why they call it Portage de Sioux?
Because that's where the Indians would carry their canoes.
It's the narrowest portion of the peninsula between the Mississippi and Missouri rivers, and it was a major shortcut for the Sioux to cut across. And there were a series of backwater lakes that they could then carry the canoe away, paddle across, carry, paddle, and then soon, before long, they're in the Missouri River.
See? You learn something on the show every night.
This show's super educational.
Yep.
It reeks of education.
Oh, it does.
We got a commercial.
Okay, yep. Commercial break. Go ahead.
No, we're calling, this is a call-in one. Ring him. It's Doyle.
Okay, have a seat.
Come on in.
Sit there. No, there.
No, right there.
Okay. Here, whatever. That's fine.
Wherever you want.
Thank you. Hello, and thank you for having me. This is Doyle McIntyre, owner and operator of Amalgamated Murgatroyd, your hometown explosives superstore. You know, sometimes you are faced with an underwater project and need ballistic compounds with hygroscopicity ratings that are the highest. But we have composition blasting materials with highest ammonium nitrate packings and industry-certified levels of brisance that are second to none. So where your job requires either a high initiation sensitivity or lower detonation velocity, Amalgamated Murgatroyd has it in stock for you. Come on down to our newly repaired offices right across the street from St. Boniface Gymnasium. My family thanks you.
Thanks, Joel. Thank
you. Thank you. Doyle. Have a good one. See ya.
Next week he's...
Detonation velocity. Do you even know what detonation velocity is?
I don't know. I just figure when something blows up, it blows up at the same speed every time.
Maybe there's a difference.
No, I think there's different.
Different powders react differently, I
exactly.
think.
Exactly.
Like fireworks.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask Doyle the next time he comes in.
We do.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in his family that still has all their digits?
You know, I never did notice.
You know, it's something that the dynamite industry and the alligator wrestling industry have in common.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, or appendages or whatever.
What's the hold today? What's the episode name today?
I have to look that up. Chin hold.
Yeah, this is a chin hold here.
Chin lock.
So what was the other thing you were going to talk about? Spider mites?
No. Mormon crickets.
We got to wait for next time, man. We're getting close.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
We don't have time to talk about Mormon crickets?
Yeah, it's about that time.
Let me check.
Oh, it's not that time. It's not even close. It's 10 minutes.
Okay,
and that started late. Oh. We're out of time. Sorry, Rick. We'll put Mormon crickets on the agenda for
next time.
Next time for episode 8.
Yeah. You know, we've done these. This is what, the 8th one now? Is this the 7th one?
The 7th one.
I think we're competent enough that we could have guests at some point.
We said that last time.
Besides Doyle?
I mean...
Oh, you mean somebody come in and talk about a particular topic, subject?
I think the show would be better if we had a Vanna White character
who
touched the things right before they lit up.
I
thought he was
things.
Going a different way. Yeah,
let's go light up here. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Light up my life.
Yeah, okay.
I'll work on it.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Until next time.
Talk about...
Well, what we can do is interview... potential Vannas.
Oh, good idea.
You know,
that's
no
a show.
Use just taking the first to offer.
You never want to do that, Rick. All right. Till next episode.
See you later from
Greg Gator.
Rick Gator.
Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes.